Good morning.
Good morning.
Love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll take a closer look at Romans. We look at verse 9. Is this blessedness only for circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to him. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So Paul's point is that Abraham had a faith relationship with God before he was circumcised, before the coming of the law, because the law came with Moses. He was accepted and loved by God on his relationship with God alone, without the law. Matthew Henry writes, Abraham was pardoned and accepted in uncircumcision, a circumstance which, as it might silence the fears of the poor uncircumcised Gentiles, so it might lower the pride and conceitedness of the Jews who gloried in their circumcision as if they had the monopoly of all happiness. And you remember in the church in Rome there was the big division between the Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians who were returning to Rome. Verse 13, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. And Utley says, the Mosaic law had not yet been revealed. This was a very important point which emphasizes the difference between human effort and divine grace. Grace has made the law obsolete as a way of salvation. Abraham was righteous through his walk with God. By living in a relationship with Yahweh, he was an example not only to the Jewish people, but also to us, right? The key is to live in a relationship with God, and we have that through Jesus Christ. Question, do we live in a relationship with Jesus, or do we attend religious services? That's the right answer. Okay, I'm glad one person's got it. Okay. And last week I shared, I've been preaching for 20 years, and there's still some who practice this as religion, right? They'll come when their kids need baptism or Holy Communion or confirmation or whatever, and then they disappear, all right? And it's about religion. Then there's others where it becomes a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to kind of embarrass Marcy, okay? Marcy was just baptized this year with her kids. And Marcy, what's it like living in a relationship with Jesus now? Is this what you thought religion was about? No. What's it like? How do you feel? Change?
Yeah.
And you have peace, right? Yeah. It's different, right, than religion where it's an obligation. It reminds me, and I know there's a lot of people who want to remember this. This is a commercial from the 80s, okay? So, Adolfo, that means you don't know about this. Okay. So, there was a large business complex, like a safer, and all these people come out of their office cubicles to go to lunch, and they're all in a group, and they go to the elevator, and they go, same place, same thing, same place, same thing. And they all get in the elevator, and they go in, same place, same thing. Elevator opens, and they go out for lunch, and they go in, same place, same thing. And what it was an advertisement for fast food, a new fast food company. I can't even remember what it was, all right? Rather than going to like McDonald's or Burger King or something, there was a new kind of fast food. But rather than doing the same place and the same thing, there was something new, okay? But the question is, does this describe our lives? Is it the same place, same thing? Is it boring, okay? And isn't it different, Marcy, when we live in a relationship with Jesus Christ? It's like that shattered, right? It's like you're living an adventure, all right? And you drive all the way to Glendale, Arizona from San Antonio to sing some songs, okay? All right? But isn't that the adventure of Jesus? It's not boring, right? Because it changes every day. Every day it changes and it's new. So does this describe our lives? Are our lives same place, same thing? If it is, we can change that today. All right? It can change today simply by accepting Jesus Christ. The ever-changing adventure is part of our mission statement. Verse 14, "For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression." If we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not under religious rules. There is no law or sin, because our sins are covered in the blood of Jesus. Remember, we talked about that the last 2 weeks. God no longer views our sin because of our relationship with Jesus, but not because of our religious activities. You don't say, "Well, I'm a good person, I go to church every Sunday." It's because we live in a relationship with Him, our sins are covered in His blood, and God doesn't see them, okay? Please remember, our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. It doesn't matter what we've done. Our sins are covered in the blood of Jesus, okay? Amen. Verse 16, "Therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not to, only to those who are of the law, the Jewish Christians, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham," which would be the Gentile Christians. "He is the father of us all." So what is the promise? I talked about the promise. What is the promise? What? Simpler. Jesus. Okay? Jesus is the promise, okay? He's the promised Messiah. And the promise comes in a person. It comes in Jesus Christ. In Him we have salvation. We have a new life and an eternal life in relationship with God. Therefore, the law of religion is nullified. It's amazing how Christians keep wanting to bring the law back, right? Bob Uly says, "This emphasizes a settled condition of a strong Greek verb that means to make empty, to abrogate, to bring to an end, and even to destroy or annihilate. There are not two ways to salvation. The new covenant of grace has made the old covenant of works null and void." I got a question. What does our culture say about life after death? Oh, there isn't one. Okay, they say there isn't one. Or if there is one, we're all going to go to heaven, right? Does our culture say there's only one way to heaven? No. No, there's a lot of different ways, right? And what happens if we say there's only one way to heaven through Jesus Christ? Then we're haters, right? And we're being exclusive, right? It reminds me of, once again, Adolfo, you probably don't know this about this either, okay? An old movie called Oh God with George Burns, okay? And George Burns is God, and he's talking with this guy, and he says, the guy asked, "Was Jesus your son?" And he said, "Oh yeah, Jesus was my son, and Buddha was my son, and Muhammad was my son," okay? And what he's saying is what our culture believes, is that there's one God, but we call him different names. That's a lie, okay? Allah is not Yahweh, okay? Transcendental meditation is not going to bring you to Jesus Christ. It's a lie, all right? In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I don't think George Burns would like to hear that, huh? But are we going to believe Jesus? Would Jesus lie to us? No, he wouldn't lie to us, right? He's the only way, all right? He's the only way. And no, he's not the same as Allah or any other God, okay? The Bible's very clear about that. What's that? There is no other God, exactly, all right? We look at verse 17. "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed." Abraham is the father of those who live in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We are Abraham's children, children of the promised Messiah. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Okay. This is talking about the resurrection, okay? The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." So the good news is we will be raised from the dead, and death has no power over us. Wow. Death has no power over us. Right? How many people in our society believe that? That death has no power over us? Not very many. Only those of us who live in a relationship with Christ, right? We can laugh at death because we know where we're going, right? The rest of our society trembles, right? Because they don't know what's going to happen. We know what the ending is. And we win. Amen? Spurgeon writes, "God raises the dead and creates out of nothing, and therefore He can carry out the promises of His gospel. Get this worked into your own soul, and you will be strong in faith. Once strong in faith, you are strong everywhere, for as a man's faith is, so is he. If your faith shall learn to stay yourself upon eternal principles and find your rest in the omnipotence of God, you will become like Abraham, a prince among men, and this service will bring you a lifelong blessing." Maybe today we feel like the walking dead, or same place, same thing. You don't have to live that way. We don't have to live that way, all right? The answer is Jesus Christ, and He's here with us today, right? God can and will raise us out of this walking dead existence and give us new life. All we have to do is accept the promise, the gift, the life of Jesus, and then real life starts here and now. Yesterday, my son Ryan was married. So if I'm kind of out of it, that's why. Right? But we had the wedding in our backyard, and I was talking with Mary. I haven't had a chance to talk to Robin since then. She's an atheist. She's a longtime friend of ours from California. And I went around to the tables, and I talked to Mary. We had a heated discussion about some things, naturally, okay? But you'll hear about it later. But anyway, what she was amazed about was the change in me. Because she's known me since we were married, so for 43 years, okay? And she was shocked. She said, "Wow, you just get up there, and you're bold, and you pray, and you preach, you know, and..." I said, "It ain't me." Okay? You guys remember how I was, you know? I wouldn't say two words, right? It's not me. I told Mary, I said, "It's the Holy Spirit." And she said, "Well, you know, seeing you sometimes makes me wonder if there's a God." And I said, "Well, Mary, would you like me to pray with you?" And she said, "No, no, no. Don't want too much of this God stuff, but, you know..." Anyway, seeds are planted, so praise be to God, all right? But what I'm saying, I'm nothing special, folks. Just ask Robin, okay? I'm nothing special, but the Lord, He wakens us. He wakens us to what life is and what's important in life, all right? And it makes life just so wonderful, right, Marcy? Verse 18, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised." Abraham is amazing, okay? Because it's not like other people were talking about this God that he talked to, right? And he moved to another land, and the Lord promised that he would have a child, and 13 years he waited. And he still hung on to the promise, all right? Spurgeon says, "That is the kind of faith we need. The faith that does not inquire how God can perform His promise, but believes that He will do it." And don't we get tied up in that sometimes? How can God do this? How can God do... I have to do something, right? And the answer is, not always. all right? Just turn it over to God, right? And things work out. You can ask my son Ryan about that, okay? So was Abraham's faith perfect? No. He traded his wife away twice, okay? Because he was fearing for his life. He had a child with his wife's servant, Hagar. Does our faith have to be perfect? No. Okay. Bob Yeadley says, Abraham and Sarah did not have perfect faith. Thank God, salvation does not require perfect faith, but only the proper object, God in the Old Testament and His Son Jesus in the New Testament. God accepts and deals with imperfect faith because He loves imperfect people. What I think is wonderful is God looked at Abraham, but He didn't look at who Abraham was. He looked at what Abraham could be, right? And that's the same with me in my life. But Spurgeon says, to God's foreseeing eye, Abraham was what he was to become. He calls the things that are not as though they were. Now, faith has the wonderful property of becoming like the God in whom it trusts, and of looking at things as God sees them. How I wish my dear tried brothers and sisters, you could see your troubles as God sees them, namely as a means to your advancement in divine grace. Look at affliction today as a process that is enriching you. Sinner, when you believe in Jesus, God looks at you as saved, justified, forgiven, and raised into eternal life. If you believe in Jesus, see yourself as God sees you. It is a great thing for a sinner, dead in himself, to say, and yet I live. Do we see ourselves as God sees us? No. And shouldn't we? Because then does it matter what people say? No. Because the only one that matters is God, right? And according to Him, we're all princes and princesses of the King, right? What a great attitude to have, right? The problem is, we listen to other voices. And who's behind those other voices? Satan, right? He's the joy killer. He wants to suck the life out of us, all right? So remember who we are. We belong to Jesus, amen? Verse 22, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Yeadley says, Abraham's faith became a pattern for all true descendants to follow. Abraham believed God about a promised son and descendants. New covenant believers, you and me, believe that Jesus the Messiah is the fulfillment of all of God's promises to fallen mankind. Once again, today, are we doing the same place, same thing walk? Or are we living in an exciting adventure with Jesus that leads us into life? And I was thinking about it, it's not really a walk with Jesus. It becomes a dance, right? Even for those of us who can't dance, right? It becomes a dance. I'm going to close with some words from Spurgeon. You will have abundant evidence that grace creation is going on continually and that God is working great wonders in the midst of His people. Be of good courage and put your trust in the God of the new creation. I wish the grace of God would bring every one of you as far as we have now come, namely to believe that He who raises the dead and creates out of nothing can do for us what we need. We have an almighty God to deal with, and His grace is linked with His omnipotence, and His love is as large as His power. His love is as large as His power. I want you to trust Him. Oh, if you have never done so, do it now. God help you. If you are holding on to anything but God in Christ Jesus, let it go. Let it go at once. You will not get hurt by falling into the unseen arms. And those unseen arms are here, right? And when we fall, He's always there to catch us. And that's why we can live the ever-changing adventure, right? Because we know who we belong to. Amen? So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are here with us. We thank You that Your unseen arms are embracing us, Lord. Lord, we're tired of living same place, same thing. We want our lives to be an ever-changing adventure with You, Jesus. We want to live in Your presence and in Your power and in Your love, Lord. We ask that You give us deaf ears to Satan's voice as he tells us we're no good or we're not enough. Because in You we're all sufficient. And we are Your children, a new creation, Lord. This day, Lord Jesus, we thank You that You died for us on the cross, that we are covered in Your blood, Lord, and that we look forward to living with You each and every day, but also eternally with You and the Father and the Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask that You use us to love more and more people to Your Son. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.